From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beter.
And I'm Andy Richards.
And welcome to Defrag Tools, our last week here in the lovely Olive Garden studio. We'll be back in our regular big studio next week.
Fingers crossed.
Yes, we hope. It'll be much nicer and roomier.
And we'll get Larry back.
Yeah, and Larry will be back because we'll have three people, room for three people at the desk.
Yeah.
So Andrew, what are we going to cover this week?
We did 3 weeks of message analyzer over the break just to make sure we can have a holiday ourselves. We pre-taped them. But before that, we're doing a series on common Windows 8.1 issues with store apps. And we did all the ones that are kind of very CLR-based exceptions, stuff like that. And one of the ones that exists is to do with frame navigation. And actually, you're not going to see this yourself. Because when the telemetry comes in, it's frame navigation within XAML, and the blame goes to Microsoft because it's, if you look at the code, it's all just XAML code. So Microsoft gets the blame, and you don't see it. But obviously, you know, it's out there. It's one of the telemetry points we know that happens, so we want to talk about that.
So people are hitting this crash in their apps, but they may not be getting the crash reports.
Correct. You definitely won't get the crash report. Everything looks Microsoft, and so there's no reason for us to put it on your portal as your issue. Obviously, as a developer, you could maybe see it when you're in Visual Studio, but...
If it crashes locally.
Yeah. Sure. So let's have a look at what it is. So it's to do with this function called frame.getNavigationState, which is part of the UI XAML controls namespace. The whole point of this function is to look at the page backstack and forward stack. And it's kind of like, think of the IE metaphor of, you know, these buttons up here. This one's holding a whole lot of links to go back. This one's holding a whole lot of links to go forward.
And if you right click, I think you can see that stack, right?
Yeah, so if I go on this one, I see. So
that's your back stack.
Yeah, I haven't got any forward ones at the moment because I'm not positionally there.
Sure.
And what this does is it runs through the back stack ILIST as an enumeration and the forward stack. And then each one of those has a type name, which is the name of a class of the page. And then this is where the issue happens, is optionally, you also can pass parameters. And so we also try to serialize the parameters. What happens is if you have a parameter that we don't support serialization from, we throw an exception. Now, unfortunately, the exception is thrown from within getNavigationState, and it gets thrown into the whole XAML framework, and you don't have a chance to try catch it and consume it and do the right thing. Hmm. So
and there's documentation about this, I assume.
Yeah. So there's four ways of navigating. There's four ways of affecting the navigation history. Three of them are through the navigate command, and the other one is through direct manipulation of the back and the forward stack list. So you can actually just add nodes in there yourself rather than making the user go through the actual process of doing a navigation. Mm-hmm. Right? And so the example of that might be is you might go forward into a page and you might go, well, based on the current data on this page, I don't want back to be back anymore. I want to go back to the main page.
Right.
I don't want to go via wherever I was.
Sure, yeah, I see that in apps sometimes.
Yeah. And so maybe the page before it was an authentication page, which you don't want to show again.
Right, like that. That's a good example.
Yeah. So there's three overloads, and you'll see that you just get more and more parameters. The most common one is this top one, the navigate one. And it's these last two that can cause issues. The comma object, which lets you pass any object. And this is the thing that has to be serializable. And then the third one is object and this navigation transition info, which is actually quite hard to make, but what it represents is the animation stylings of the page turn. So, you know, do I want to flip, do I want to fade, and all that type of stuff, and the speed of the animation and stuff. So what it comes down to is this parameter. And we do the right thing, and in here we hide it right in the middle of a paragraph that you can only have these types, right? So the types are string, character, numeric, and GUID. And when you're actually doing it, actually what it comes down to is a class property type. Oh, I'm not resolving it, but there's a class called property type, And it's everything that's simple. So like int 8-bit, int 16-bit, 32-bit, uint. You know, so the signed and unsigned versions of int, a string, a character, and then a GUID. What's not included of note is time span, which is a way of describing a period of time like between start and end, and arrays. So any array pointed to them. So a pointer to an integer, for example, or a pointer to a string, or an array of those isn't serializable. Hmm. So let's have a look at some code and see this in action. So what I'm going to use is from the Windows 8.1 SDK examples, or app samples, is one called the XAML navigation sample. And we'll have a link up or down wherever it is for that. I opened up the C# version. So let's just run this guy and you can see what the deal is. Standard thing with the SDK examples, there's multiple scenarios. In this one, we're just going to use the basic one. And when we go navigate, what you're going to see is these strings being added to the back state. All right, so you know, I did like 5 times. And if I go back, it's like pressing back in IE, as you expect, and then having the forward one have some context. Mm-hmm. And as such, the back one lost one, and the forward one gained some.
Sure.
All right. So what we're going to do is change this. So one of the simplest ways to do it is let's just add a parameter to this guy. So instead of using the no parameter version, where am I going? Let's just declare an array of integers, which is a complex type, mm-hmm. and then pass it as a parameter. So what you could do is when the page gets navigated to, you are past the parameters and you could make a decision. So you can have a page that represents multiple purposes, right? Or just some context of, you know, go to the read a document page. This is the name of the document to read, right?
Okay.
So when we do this, it's actually going to succeed because none of the navigation state persistence is happening, right? And so I can go navigate and then go back, and I can actually use it as part of the stack, and it doesn't blow up. And this is why people don't see the issue, right? Mm. But if we maybe do it twice, and I'm going to use the other way of doing it. Oops. Actually, I'll do them all. So I'll show you all the 3 different ways of doing it all at once. So I'm going to be pushing the page on 4 times. With the parameter as before, with a null, which means I'm not going to dictate any animation. And then here's a way of doing it, directly manipulating the lists. Right, so I'm going to add it to the back. The type of object that navigate does is roughly under the surface just doing this. It's adding it to the stack, but it also happens to navigate to it. Mm-hmm. Right, so I'm adding fake entries in the past and in the future by doing this. Making a new one, and in this case, what I'm going to do is I'm going to push on the main page. It's going to be last. So when I go back, we're actually going to jump to the main page, all right? So let's mm-hmm. run that. Whoops, missing the... So when I press navigate, we're going to get 2 normal ones pushed on to the backlist, a main pushed onto the backlist, and a main pushed onto the forward list.
Okay.
All right, and so we look down here, you can see that the navigate command calls this one, the back command calls this one, and the forward command calls this one.
Okay.
So if we go backwards in the stack now, this is our frame here. It's actually going to pick up the main pages.
The main page.
But it's kind of weird.
Yeah, nested in there.
Yeah, and I can go forward. We'll go to the one that's in the middle, and then we'll go forward and to the main I also added. Right, so you're kind of like in the middle of these main bracketing. So all that works, right? There's nothing really
sure. Yeah.
Breaking it. Now, let's actually show this breaking. So you can cause this by suspension, and it does. It's a bit. It's not. I can't get to be deterministic enough. So I'm just going to do it straight here. This myframe variable. Well, I should probably explain this. Where's that coming from? So in the XAML, here's the page, and if we look for the frame area, so it's some text, and there's a nice frame element. If we click on that, here comes the frame, and this is the variable the frame that we're manipulating is called myFrame.
Okay.
All right, so that's where that variable comes from. And so that's what all these are. So now what we're going to do is we're going to do all this, and we've pushed on a lot of bad data that can't be serialized, and we're going to ask it to do get navigation state, and this string's going to get the data. Now, before we run it with it breaking, let's have a look at it not breaking. So that's a good one with no extra parameters. Breakpoint on that. We're going to navigate. So we've pushed a page on, and then we are going to step over that, and then you get this weird string. It's a Microsoft internal string. Right? We don't guarantee the format, and I think in the documentation of frame.navigate of get navigation state on MSDN, it says do not trust it.
Okay.
Roughly what you're looking at is a version number and how many nodes there are forward and backwards, and then then the name of the page. Right.
Okay.
But definitely it's not something you can take a dependency on. So that went through the back state, serialized each node, did everything it needed to do. Now, if we do the same thing, with all this gump added, maybe we'll just add one just to simplify it. We'll just add that main page to the back.
Okay.
Where did I miss the slash? Right there. And we'll execute that command and
boom.
So that's actually that was function sleep, not control F4.
Put your computer to sleep on us.
You see how fast Windows can reboot. There we go. Control F4, not function F4. So we've got that compiled and released. Let's crash that guy. Oops. Navigation sample. Crashing, proc dumps kicking in the background. Dump file, navigation state. And then we look at the exception, and it's a so exception, as always. Look at the stack. And it's very XAML-y. And if we look at the error code.
Add that word to the dictionary, XAML-y.
Yes.
I like that.
It's
part of the XAML-y family.
Yes. And unspecified error, so it's not really much use.
Not very helpful.
And and if you know how to do the magic, which I think we may be showing next week, the stack is just XAML. There's nothing to see. So
you're going to see this, and it's not going to point to your app as the culprit.
No.
Even though technically you did something you weren't supposed to do.
Yeah. Now, you ask the question, why do we allow a parameter that's going to crash? Well, this get navigation state is not required. You can do your own persistence, right? Mm. And so you can put any object there, if you need to serialize the parameter, so be it, in your code, and you have to have the appropriate serialization code. What you get is when you, by default, I think in a lot of templates, is we get this class called the Suspension Manager, and roughly it's designed to do all this work for you. And right down the bottom, roughly there's a loop going over everything, and then it says for this frame, persist it, and then store it into some persistable storage, right? And so We use get navigation state, it returns a string, and then we put it in isolated storage. And then next time you do a resume, you're meant to read it out of isolated storage, which is this. And then you do set navigation state, and that will recreate all of those forward and backwards stacks. And so this is why it gets used. Now, if you didn't use get navigation state and you wrote your own serializer to put it into isolated storage, then you're not going to get into this issue. So if you're using the default implementation, which Visual Studio gives you from the template, the suspension manager will be there and you'll have this constraint. If you roll your own, you're free to do with what you will. And that's about it. So get navigation state, it's out there as an issue. If you are not doing suspension management yourself, be aware that you're limited to fundamental types, strings, numbers, and a GUID. And if you are doing your own stuff, feel free to marshal anything you can think of and go forth and be happy.
Great. Well, hopefully we can get a few of those people, the crashing apps, to take a look at that and fix their code. Right. So that's our show. As always, if you have questions, feel free to give us an drop us an email at defragtools@microsoft.com, and we'll see you next week.
Have a good week.